Let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Dear Father, we've just been singing that your word shall guide us and with truth provide us. And Lord, we make that our prayer now, that as we look at your word, yeah, it will be a guide to us. It will provide that truth for us. Lord, we ask for that help in Jesus' name today. Amen. Please do sit down. I actually underlined all the hymns so I wouldn't miss one. Didn't really work very well, did it? Never mind. I'd like you to cast your mind back, I suppose, just over a month. A month ago, in the middle of June, 17th of June, that was before the World Cup started. Probably a month ago, none of us knew who Gareth Southgate was. I think most of us, apart from Colin, may do now. And his waistcoats. Wimbledon hadn't started. Boris Johnson was Foreign Secretary. And just over a month ago, we were praying for a dry day at Kempton Park. Because the weather forecast wasn't very good. And in fact, there was a bit of rain in the air a month ago. It seems hard to remember, doesn't it, when we come out today and our lawns are so brown. And did anyone go to Kempton Park? I went to Kempton. Yeah, lots of people were there at Kempton Park. A really great day. And I thought it was really fascinating. Andrew Pollard was there. He gave quite a strong message there. And some people responded to that message wholeheartedly. Some people actually gave their lives to Jesus at that event. But what was I found interesting as well is other people who were at the same event, hearing the same speaker at the same time, in the same place, same words, seemed completely unmoved. And there were some who actually seemed just that little bit hostile to the whole thing, that they really seemed to think that a speaker coming on was sort of interrupting the celebration. A complete mix of responses. And I was thinking about this, and I also came across some figures. I was looking at some figures here in the church of the number of people who attend our church. Last December, last Christmas time, over 1,000 people came into this building. This building and actually the school over the road. Over 1,000 people. Some of them may have been the same people more than once, but it was around 1,000 people came here. For one reason or another, they came to light up Laylam, they came to carol services, they came to the Chris Stingles, all those services. And some, not a huge number, but some responded to what they heard there. And others hearing exactly the same thing, well, they simply walked away without giving it a second thought and thought, well, I'll come back and have another carol service next year. Why this mixed bag of responses? Around the world, when you look at the world, the Christian world, notably in the Far East and in Africa, the Christian church is growing at a rapid pace. There are more Christians in the world today than there have ever been. But in the UK, the church is in decline. In Western Europe, the church is in decline. Chris Conn was telling me that in some areas, the church, he put it, is on a knife edge. The average age of the congregation is basically going up 1 year every year because younger people are not joining it. And they're in trouble. Within 4 years, some dioceses will not be able to pay the clergy with the money they're getting. Now, I look back at some figures. In 1850, there was a sort of survey done of church attendance. 1850, it was a bit of a rough and ready one. It probably wouldn't stand up to scrutiny today, but it came out with the figure that 55% of the population of the UK went to church on Sunday. That's over half the people in the country were in church. Today, that figure's dropped to 1 in 60. That's just under 2%. And the Church of England are predicting that by the year 2050, just in 30 years odd time, that figure will have dropped to 1 in 600. Now, why is that? Why is that? This is an important question for us now, and it was an important question for Luke 2,000 years ago. Because Luke, when he was recording his gospel, he wanted us to have certainty. I don't know about you, but when I hear of a mixed response to something, it can tend to undermine my confidence. I think, well, what's the problem? Is there a problem here? Is the product okay? What's going on? Well, previous to our reading, Jesus had seen the religious elite respond in different ways. And now he moves on to explain the response of the crowd, the regular people. Vast crowds had come to listen to Jesus, but only a small number end up believing. So let's just think about that first. The kingdom of God grows through widespread proclamation, so make sure you listen. Now, that may seem rather obvious. The news about Jesus and his kingdom advances through the widespread broadcast of his word. So our story today, the parable of the sower, is a parable about growth, the proclamation of Jesus' word. And he explains this parable in verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. He goes on in 13. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures. And they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Well, at the start of the chapter, Jesus went around proclaiming the gospel. And then this parable about growth of the kingdom. And the sower here, he seems to have scattered this seed in a sort of random, indiscriminate way. He just throws it out over the field. Some years ago, I did a bit of work in Australia. And at the weekend, a friend of mine and I, we ended up at an agricultural show in Australia. We were in the Hunter Valley, a wine-growing region, but we went to this agricultural show. And I saw a tractor there, and I got talking to the man who was presumably selling the tractors. And this tractor, it was controlled by lasers in the field, and it had satellite navigation. And it could drill seeds into the ground with an accuracy of 10 millimetres. That's less than half an inch. The seeds were going in absolute straight lines, perfect. No seeds on the rocks, none on the weeds, none on the bad soil, perfectly right. A very expensive and fascinating machine. But this is how the kingdom grows, widespread broadcast. The kingdom of God advances through the widespread speaking of God's words. And Jesus, recorded by Luke here, wants us to be clear that this wastage is actually one of the key features. Jesus knows there'll be considerable fallout. But nevertheless, that is the plan. If this was a business plan, I'd be saying, well, let's look at how we can cut down on this wasted resources. Let's reassess the model. With all this wastage on paths and rocky ground, there must be a better way. But this is the method chosen by God. In his kindness and generosity, Jesus allows vast numbers of people to hear. And that is God's way of growing his kingdom. So we must be careful. When we see 1,000 people come to our church in December and only a handful respond, we mustn't give up and look for another way. We mustn't say, well, let's stop doing that and try social action or political interventions. No, God's kingdom advances through proclamation of God's word. And that is a key lesson for us and for the wider church. Why is the church in the state it is in now? Well, there is a widespread disbelief in the word of Jesus. There is a sense of mistrust that God's word will do God's work. A great message for me, a great message for us. How is God's church going to grow? Only as you and I get out there and tell people. Well, the second point. The kingdom advances through divine revelation. So we have to take care how we listen. Why does Jesus use parables? Well, they're not the simplest of teaching methods. I wonder how many of our children or grandchildren come home from school and we say to them, what was the best thing at school today? And after they've said lunch, they say, well, actually, I heard a really good parable from my teacher today. Does that ever happen? I don't think so. It's not the greatest teaching method in some ways. Well, the kingdom of God advances by God giving us truth through the person of Jesus. We don't work out the truth for ourselves. It is a gift. And it is only as we come to Jesus that we're given truth. Just look at verse 8, halfway through it. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And when the disciples asked what it meant, he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand. Now those verses have told me that something I used to believe a while ago was wrong. Two things were wrong about my understanding about Jesus' teaching. I think the first thing, a while ago, I thought I could work out the truth about God from my own resources. Sort of, I think God is like this, without studying the Word of God, without studying what the Bible actually says. And second, I thought that Jesus used everyday language in order that the everyday crowd could understand him. But I was wrong. Look at verse 8 again. As Jesus spoke to the crowd, he deliberately used parables in order to obscure the truth from them. I think that's quite a challenge to think about. It is only those who are prepared to come to him and sit at his feet and be taught that are able to make sense of what he says. The knowledge about God and his kingdom. And to those people who Jesus has summoned and who are prepared to be taught and are willing to listen, it is a gift. So 1,000 may well come through the door, but we need to realise that people will remain blind and deaf until such time as God enables them to come and sit at Jesus' feet. So God, Jesus, enters the world, summons his disciples, gives them the gift of revelation, and it is only as we respond to that summons that actually we understand the first thing about God. So we must take care how we listen. And our final point, deliberate delusion. We must watch out as we listen. In our reading, the four types of soil speak of four types of listener. The first finds the seed, that is God's word, but it's snatched away. The birds ate it. The seed's on the path. That's where people hear God's word, but then the devil takes it away. So they may not believe and be saved. Every time we meet, Satan will be present, looking for opportunities to snatch God's word away, ready to distract you, to make you think about something else. What are we going to have for lunch? What are the children doing over the road? What's on this afternoon? What time's the World Cup start, the final? Is Poldark on TV tonight? Snatch distractions. It's so easy for your mind to wander off into them, isn't it? Verse 13, the seeds on the rock. Those who receive the word with joy, but these have no root. And when the time of testing comes, they fall away. The rootless enthusiast, if you like. Yes, they're enthusiastic when they're here or when they're at Joy at Kempton. But on a Monday morning when they're back at work and someone says, "You don't really believe that, do you?" Actually, they change their mind. The rootless enthusiast. That testing doesn't have to be anything big. It could just be talking to your friends. Then we find stressful strangulation. The cares of the world, the mortgage, the kids' education, the grandchildren, health, relationships, career. Some people appear to grow, but actually they never produce any fruit. Why are some Christians like that? Well, actually it's because of the cares of the world. And it's interesting, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. The mortgage does have to be paid. The kids do have to be educated. Health is important. Relationships are important. But the cares, or could we call them riches, creep in. We need a bigger house. We need a better car. We need advancement at work. They're thorns. They can be thorns. You know, some people come to church but never really get involved in church life. Why not? They're simply too busy. Those thorns. I think at times we have to think, when did we last do a bit of spiritual weeding in our lives? So the reasons why, when the gospel message is proclaimed, only a handful respond. But let's finish with verse 15. Here people hear the word, and they don't just forget it, but they ponder on it, and they think it through, they dwell on it. How is it going to impact my life? How am I going to allow God's word to sink in and seep into my very being? God has communicated with us. He entered the world in the person of Jesus. He gave us this gift of revelation so we can understand the secrets of the kingdom. How is that going to impact us? Well, and I suppose, again, it's a bit obvious. I would suggest the first thing we have to do is to actually read his word. To read the Bible. Probably read it daily. Seek to understand what we read. Seek to understand it more. Then we do have to talk to others. Bearing fruit, but with patience. But not doubting the method. This widespread broadcast. We have to make sure we engage in it. But don't be surprised at the result. Don't be surprised when 1,000 people come along and only a handful respond. And as we listen to God's word, we have to take care how we hear. And if we can do all these things, then there will be tremendous growth in God's kingdom. Here and throughout our land. Not 1 in 600, not 2 in 60, but masses of people. Let's finish by praying. Let's just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Father, we ask that you would make us such people. Father, we ask that we would be humble enough to do that weeding if it's needed in our lives. And Father, today we pray that we would not be those with no roots. Help us to have your word and to have your word take deep root in our lives. And we pray for that wonderful privilege of bearing fruit for you. And Father, we ask all that today in Jesus' name. Amen.